Welcome to the Tech Doctor Podcast. This is Robert. Several people have asked me how I go about using the password manager named 1Password with VoiceOver. So today it's my plan to describe 1Password and do some demonstrations of how I use it. For those who don't know, 1Password is a password manager designed to allow usernames and passwords to be automatically entered on websites when you press a hotkey. So you don't have to worry about all those passwords for those websites that you log on to. You only have to remember 1Password, which is the master password that you create when you set up 1Password. I recommend that people use a very strong master password. I think probably a phrase is best, a phrase that no one else would know of, but that you can remember, because you have to remember this one master password. 1Password is a very nice piece of software. It's multi-platform. It runs on OS X for the Mac, runs on Windows, runs on iOS, and Android. So it's very flexible in terms of what you can use it on. 1Password stores its password data in an encrypted file and can use the Dropbox system. So if you have Dropbox installed on multiple devices, all of your passwords will remain in sync across those devices thanks to Dropbox. So what I'd like to do is, first of all, demonstrate 1Password at its very basic level. That is, go to a website and press the hotkey and have 1Password log me into the site. I will be demonstrating 1Password on the Mac. The Mac is where I do all of my setting up of passwords and customizing of 1Password, because in my experience, the Mac is the most accessible platform for 1Password. It's accessible using Windows with the System Access screen reader and with the NVDA screen reader. For some reason, I cannot get 1Password to open with my master password when I have WindowEyes running. I have not tried 1Password with JAWS, but it does work fine in the Windows environment with System Access and NVDA. As far as iOS goes, it's completely accessible on the iPhone. I assume so on the iPad, but I've only tried it on the iPhone. I'm using the 4S. It's interesting that 1Password on iOS does have a browser built into it so that it can log into these websites without having to leave 1Password. This enables you to take advantage of the automatic login feature that you have on the Mac. In other words, 1Password on iOS can, at the tap of a button, log you in to a website entering your username and password. So I'm going to go to the Finder on the Mac here.
Finder, Desktop, Macintosh HD, Selected Volume.
And I'm going to bring up my Applications folder with Command-Shift-A.
Applications, Window, List View.
And I'm going to go to 1Password.
1Password.app Application.
I'm going to open that with Command-O.
Open. 1Password.
It's now clicking. I'm going to type in my master password.
Search text field.
So let's take a quick look at what we have here in this main window of 1Password. We're on a search box now, which would let us search for any of our logins that we have created with usernames and passwords for websites. I've got about 60, 63, 64 of them, something like that. So as you can see, I'm in big need of a password manager. So we're on the search box now where we could type in the name or part of a name of one of these websites, and 1Password would locate that for us. But we're just going to press vote, right arrow, and move across this main 1Password window here and see what's here.
Sidebar, table, row 5 of 17, logins selected.
We're now on a sidebar table, and as you could hear, what's selected are login items. There are several things you can do with 1Password in addition to logins. You can have it do things like store software license keys, and you can easily locate those license keys and paste that information from 1Password into a registration field in a piece of software. This is very, very handy because you can keep all of your license keys together in one place. And so when you have to reinstall your operating system, your license keys are all available to you. You can also create a what's called a wallet, which lets you set up all of your information, such as your street address, credit card information, all the identifying information that you would like to have stored somewhere. And remember, it's safely secure inside 1Password. 1Password can automatically enter that information on a website if you're completing a form, such as making a purchase or something like that. I don't actually use that feature yet myself, although I probably will, because I find myself using more and more of the 1Password features the longer I have it. But at any rate, this sidebar area is where you change what is going to be displayed in the main table. Right now, what will be displayed is logins, but I could change that to display my software licenses or to display my wallet if I had that set up, for example. So we're going to continue VO right here.
Vertical splitter.
There's a splitter here, which I don't do anything with. We don't need to worry about.
Object list, table, row 43 of 66, New Lyon University of North Carolina.
Okay, now we're on a table, and this is the table of all of my login items that I have set up in 1Password. And so I'm going to use the up and down arrow key to move through this table, and I'm going to find something here. I'll just pick one and show you how I can log into that site.
NLS barred.
So we could just use this one here. This is the NLS barred, which is the National Library Service online site for accessing the digital talking books. There are a couple different ways to use 1Password to log into a site like this. You can press a hotkey, which is Option Command Enter, from right here, and that will log you in. Or you can actually go to the website itself, and once you're on the website, you can press Command Backslash, which will have 1Password automatically enter your username and password and log you into the site. Typically, when I press the Option Command Enter here at this point, 1Password will go out and open up the website in Safari, but I'll usually have to press the Command Backslash key to get it to actually send my username and password so that I can log in. And that's just because most sites don't cooperate fully with 1Password to do both the opening of the site and the login in one motion. So I'm going to press Command Option Return to open up this website.
Fill login in browser, Safari, untitled window, toolbar.
So we now are on the barred website in Safari.
Texas State Library's Talking Book Program barred, Braille and audio reading download. Potential users. Access to the Bard website is restricted to eligible read. Link. Bard application. And if current users, please log in.
So I'm not currently logged in, but if I press Command / at this point, 1Password will log me into this site. Let's do that now.
Secure edit text. Heading level 1, Bard main page. Heading level 2, find books. Heading level 3, link, recently added books.
So now you can see I'm on the Bard main page, and I didn't have to type any username or password. 1Password simply entered that information for me. When you're actually in Safari and using 1Password, you use something called a browser extension. That's a little applet that is written to allow you some access to some control of 1Password from within inside Safari. These browser extensions are only somewhat voiceover friendly. They allow a sighted user to click on a toolbar and automatically generate a random password, for example. If you were going to change your password on a website, you could do it right from the site if you were a sighted person. This toolbar works to some extent with VoiceOver, but I don't find it to be completely reliable. So if I'm going to change a password, I go about it in a slightly different way than probably what a sighted person would do. I actually use the 1Password interface to generate a random password, and that's different from generating it on the fly directly on the website.
1Password window object list.
And we're going to go to the File menu in 1Password and open up the New menu underneath the File menu, which will give us the option of generating a new password.
Menu bar, Apple. 1Password, File. File menu. New item, submenu. New item, submenu, new login. New account, new identity. New secure note. New software license. New wallet item, ellipsis. New password, ellipsis.
So you can see what the options are in this menu, but we stopped on new password. And so I'm going to press enter to open up this item.
New password, interact with dialog, for window, 1Password, title, where?
So now we have just generated a random password. If I vote to the right, you can see that.
New password, content selected, edit text. Where? Service or application name, content selected, edit text. RNLLMAK3OVTT, content selected, edit text.
So that was the new password. If I go to the beginning of this field,
interact with edit text.
I'll just read this random password one character at a time.
R N L L M 8 K 3 L V U K T T.
So as you can see, this is just a random password made up of characters, upper and lower case, and a few numbers. And 1Password considers this
interacting with edit
password
text. Button strength 72% level indicator
to be a 72% strength password, and that's pretty high strength, meaning that it would be very difficult for someone to crack that password. So what I would do at this point would be simply copy this password to the clipboard, and there is a button here that will let me do that.
Copy button.
I would then, because 1Password, at least the way I have mine set up, only leaves one of its items on the clipboard for 90 seconds, I would probably then just go ahead and open a text edit window and paste the one password that I just copied to the clipboard into text edit temporarily, so that I would have it around for as long as it took to actually go and change a password. Then I would go to the website where I wanted to change the password, follow the instructions on the website for how to go about changing a password, and then when I got to the point where it was asking me for a new password, I would simply paste this password into the website and then press the OK button or the change password button or whatever was on the site, and that would cause the password to be changed to this random password that I just generated with 1Password. I would then go back to 1Password to the login site that I was just on, where I changed the password, and I would paste this new password into the password field on this login site, so that I would have my password up to date inside 1Password. Now, the Safari extension usually pops up a dialog when it sees that a password has been changed and asks, do you want to modify the 1Password login? And you can modify the login at that point. I find that most of the time VoiceOver reads this dialog. Occasionally it doesn't, so it's not completely reliable. But I always double check in 1Password to make sure that even if I did tell it to go ahead and modify the dialog from the extension, I always go ahead and check and make sure that the random password that I just generated is actually the one that's inside the 1Password dialog. So now I'm going to show you how you go about editing a password from within 1Password, so that you would know how to do this when you created a new password on a website. So now I'm back in 1Password, and I am still on that table of login items and still at the NLS barred option, just because that's where we were last time we were on this table. I'm going to vote to the right here until I get to what is called a scroll area, which contains the information about this NLS barred website.
Vertical splitter, scroll area.
And if I interact with this scroll area,
interact with scroll area, 13 items, NLS barred.
We can see that there are 13 items here. And I'm going to have to be a little careful with this because I don't want to reveal my password, because when I get to the password field here in this scroll area, VoiceOver will read out my password. But just to show you kind of what's here.
NLS barred, dimmed. Image. https://nlsbard.loc.gov/c.
So that is the actual web address for the NLS barred website.
Username.
Here's my username. And my username will be the next field that I would get to if I vote to the right. And then after that would be the password field, which would reveal my password. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to show you that because I don't want you to know my NLS username and password. This is a non-editable scroll area at this point. But on the Mac, if you want to be able to edit this area so that you can change a password, for example, you press Command E, and that turns each of these boxes into edit boxes. And so if you wanted to replace an old password with a new one here, you'd simply go into edit mode with Command E, go over to the password field, delete the old password, and do a Command V to paste the new password which you had copied onto the clipboard. And that would update your password inside 1Password. Now, I should point out that 1Password is very smart when it comes to this process, and it does store the previous password in a little history area, so that for some reason your new password change didn't work out or you had to somehow get back to your previous password, you can get that information from within 1Password here. If you wanted to create a new password, say you signed up for a new account on Walmart.com or BestBuy.com or some other place on the web, you created an account and you wanted to create a password for that account, you could basically do the same thing that we just talked about, in that you could go in and generate a password using the random 1Password generator that I just showed you how to do. And then when it came time, you could paste that password into the website. And when you press the login button to actually go ahead and log in to the website, or it may be a button that says complete account or something like that. But when you press the button that lets the website know that you're done filling in the new account information, that's when the Safari 1Password extension would pop up a dialog and ask you, do you want to save this new login item that you just created? And if you chose save at that point, then 1Password would create a new login item in this table of login that we're sitting on here in the 1Password database. And it would already have your username and password filled in when it created that login item. If it somehow didn't happen, if the dialog didn't pop up or VoiceOver didn't read it, which sometimes is the case, you can go in and create a login item manually in 1Password and enter the information manually. So point being, it's important to have access to this information that you're generating just in case you need to build yourself a manual login entry for a new account. I find that, for me at least, the Safari extension in 1Password almost always pops up and offers to save this new item, this new login information. But if it doesn't, you need to be prepared to create it manually. This is one of the limitations of using 1Password with VoiceOver. Nonetheless, I use this program all the time, especially on the Mac. I use it on my Windows machine at work, but mostly on that machine, what I do with it is simply press the Control/, which is the hotkey in Windows, when I'm either on a website to log in automatically, having 1Password fill in my username and password, or I may use 1Password to actually go to a website from the login table that I just showed you here on the Mac, which works in a very similar manner on the Windows version. It's handy to have it on the iOS version as well to log into one of these sites, because when you let 1Password create these random passwords, which are very robust and very strong, there's no way that you're going to be able to remember those. At least it's not very likely that you will. But actually, that's part of the point, is to create passwords that aren't easily remembered or easily recognized. So I find this program to be very powerful and very usable for me as a voiceover user. It's just that you sometimes have to rely a bit more on using the interface of the 1Password program itself rather than using the Safari 1Password extension, which isn't quite as voiceover friendly, but still works well enough to do the essential things like automatically log you in to a website or to alert you that 1Password wants to save a new login item or wants to modify an existing login item if you change a password. I think that the security that you get by having a different password for every website and a very strong password for that website is a very important thing. And so if you log into lots of websites or even only a few, you still want to have excellent passwords on those, especially any websites that contain credit card information or banking information or any kind of personal information really that you don't want somebody to somehow crack into. It's available both from its software developer, which is called AgileBits Software, and it can be purchased from them directly by going to 1Password.com. That's the number 1Password.com. Or you can purchase it from the Mac App Store. And the advantage that I find of purchasing from the Mac App Store is that it's easy to do updates because they're automatically announced through software update. And it's also easier to install on a new computer software from the Mac App Store because you don't you're not required to enter a license key. You only have to do the download from the Mac App Store. I wanted to briefly finish up this podcast by talking a little bit about Mac security in general. And I wanted to mention that at this point in time being the time of this recording is September 9th, 2012, I do not myself use antivirus software on my Mac. I don't feel that at this point it's necessary. What I do, however, is not have Java installed, and I don't use Flash. I don't have Flash installed on my Mac. These are the two places where vulnerabilities of late have appeared in Mac OS X, is through Java and through Flash. I find that Java really isn't needed very often, and so I just haven't been using any site that requires Java, and that works out fine for me. As far as Flash goes, I do sometimes need to use Flash to play a video. When that happens, what I do is actually use Google Chrome as my browser instead of Safari. Chrome has Flash built in, and it's pretty easy to open up a web page straight from Safari into Google Chrome. And the way that you do that is you go into the advanced preference of Safari, check the option that says developer menu, and then that creates an additional item on the Safari menu bar, which is the developer menu. And when you pull down this menu, you have an option that says open web page with, and if you expand that, one of your choices will be Google Chrome, assuming you have Chrome installed. So you can simply tell Safari to open that particular page with Google Chrome, and then you can play your Flash-based video or whatever the content is. And that actually works very well. I think it's a little safer to have Flash through Google Chrome because it's always kept up to date and so forth than it is to just have the standalone Adobe Flash installed. So that's how I'm dealing with security on the Mac. I've also enabled two-factor authentication security inside Google. And this is a situation that allows Google to protect your Google password a bit more. The way that this works is when you have two-factor authentication enabled, if you're not on a computer that's been authorized by Google and you attempt to sign into your Google account, Google will automatically send a text message to your phone with a code in it. And in addition to entering your password, you have to enter this code into the site before Google will open up Google. And this actually is very voiceover friendly. It works just fine, both the setting up of it and the execution of it. And so this enables you to make sure that unless someone has both your phone and knows your Google password, they can't access your Google account. So I recommend everyone set up two-factor authentication. And that's done again by going into your Google account on the Google website, going to settings, and then setting up two-factor authentication. The Google account settings pages actually work fine on the Mac. They're not the easiest pages to navigate, but they're very doable with VoiceOver in Safari. That's how I set it up for myself. At any rate, just want to talk a bit about 1Password and security. And I hope you find this information useful. If you want to contact me to correspond about it, as always, you can email techdoctor123@gmail.com. Until next time, so long from the Tech Doctor.